councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken, and no one will be able to be armed. We're going to take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Aaron Dykes, on this Wednesday, January 2nd, 2013.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, police call in to warn of martial law in 2013. Then, the Senate passed deal means higher taxes for you and your family. And graphic video footage shows Syrian rebels torturing their prisoners. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, after a great deal of theatrics and hemming and hawing on both sides of the aisle, Congress has finally agreed a deal over the fiscal cliff. Really a Wile E. Coyote deal where we're already over the edge, hanging over a great, infinite, vast space of nothingness. But we're told this has fixed the problem and solved our debt, well, for maybe a matter of months. Meanwhile, the whole system is, of course, broken. But Bloomberg has reported how the Senate-passed deal means a higher tax on 77% of all households. More than 80% of households with incomes between $50,000 and $200,000 would pay higher taxes. That's because a 2% payroll tax enacted during the economic slowdown is being allowed to expire as of yesterday, and that again means that 77.1% of U.S. households will see a rise in the taxes. So that's just some of the deal to come after the supposed economic fix. Meanwhile, we warned you they were coming for the guns, and we've warned you they will use the economic crisis or any other pretext they can to enact martial law. With that in mind, Paul Joseph Watson has rounded up some of our past reportage, now put into context as we see them moving really quickly down that slippery slope of tyranny. Obama would call on the military to disarm Americans during a national emergency. How? The blueprint is outlined in a series of army manuals that details the confiscation of firearms and how they will declare a civil emergency and contain that crisis. One of those is called the Civil Disturbance Operations Manual, released originally in 2006, then updated in 2010 under the title FM 3-39.40, Internment and Resettlement Operations. We've covered that in detail at length over the past year or so, but just a few of those highlights in retrospect. Warning shots will not be fired, according to page 20, and overall they describe how in containing a civil unrest situations, they will send military and or police forces to physically guard stores where they just sell or distribute liquor, arms and ammunition, drugs, and everything else under the sun to prevent them from getting into the hands of rioters. Furthermore, we already know from the Katrina disaster that they will do gun confiscation even at gunpoint, door to door. It's been done before, and it's what they plan to do during civil emergencies. Rob Dew did that excellent viral video breakdown of that earlier in the year that has now over 1.2 million views. We played it last night. You can find it up on the YouTube channel for The Alex Jones Channel. Meanwhile, a North Carolina police lieutenant warns of plans for martial law coming in 2013. He called in to Pastor Butch Paul's show on GCN Live the other day and described how they are doing training for active martial law scenarios to take place during this year. This clip really speaks for itself. Let's go to that right now.
You're a lieutenant in the police or the military?
The police department.
What's your opinion?
Things are going downhill very quickly, sir.
What are you hearing from your superiors of what's coming down and what you're looking for?
Well, they're looking for it to happen, and they're training for it to happen.
Now you said they're training to take us down or training to defend us?
Yes, sir. Training to take us down. And,
really?
Law enforcement here in North Carolina has started training with drones, military-operated drones.
Wow. Okay, they started training with military drones in North Carolina.
Yes, sir. That's correct, sir.
And your superiors are training the forces to take down the American people.
Yes, sir.
Things are very alarming. For those of you who have not caught up to speed yet, are still trying to figure out the scenario, there's an excellent retelling of the really true, but what many would consider alternate history of our modern day. It's written by financial expert James Quinn under the title Obedience to Authority, Should We Trust the Government? It's a long 13-page article. Obviously, we're not going to get into the whole thing now, but he starts off with kind of the anecdotal reference to that famous Pink Floyd song, Mother, one of the lyrics of which is, Mother, should I trust the government? And goes on to describe a range of kind of subtle tyrannies and how he was at a concert for Roger Waters, the head of Pink Floyd. And when he sang, Mother, should I trust the government, the whole crowd of 40,000 people shouted no. In other words, people are starting to wake up, but why is the system itself still perpetuating and accelerating its tyranny? Well, we just have to look at all the tactics they've used, the psychological techniques between Aldous Huxley, between Edward Bernays, between George Orwell, and plenty of others, and we see our answer. He writes, they have created a totalitarian state built upon egotism, material goods, and fulfilling our desires through Wall Street, peddled debt, and mass consumerism. It's been an incredibly effective form of control that has convinced the masses to love their servitude. Now, that's a reference, of course, to the Brave New World quote written by Aldous Huxley, who predicted that in a future tyranny, really the final revolution, the system would get the population to actually love its own enslavement because they'd be so doped up and so controlled and regimented that they wouldn't know any different. And he goes on to describe how it's this whole consumer society, the creation of great society handouts and dependency things starting in the 60s, going back, of course, to the FDR days in the 30s, the rise of the credit card for the first time in the 70s, giving consumers access to cheap debt. All this stuff is coming to a head, all these banker schemes, it's mathematically becoming impossible to continue. So how will they continue it? Well, the system has a credibility crisis, but basically the population has learned to love its authority. It is obedient to authority. This was proved in the Milgram experiments back in the 70s and in many other respects, where they found that even when people don't like what's being done, they respect that authority and obey it because they're afraid to do otherwise, essentially. That was the experiment where they brought in test subjects to shock people when they got the wrong answers and found that more than 65% of those in the test were willing to administer deadly electrical shocks just for people getting the wrong answers on word association exams. It really says a lot about our society. But this article goes on and explains, really sums up this big problem in a great paragraph here. Why do we have 47 million plus on food stamps? Why are the bankers allowed to loot and loot and continue their big crimes? Well, we're in a system where there's too little cash, too few jobs, too much debt, too many takers, too few makers, too many bankers, too much delusion, and too few resources to sustain the unsustainable. We have entered the end stages of a ravenous locust swarm. The fields have been stripped barren, and what's more, a lot of people know it. If you stop obeying that system, if you say no to it, and if you let them know you see through their illusion, well, that's really the only chance we have to put this thing to bed. Otherwise, a system that seeks power will keep its power. It was explained thoroughly in 1984. Power is not a means to an end. It's not something they do to enact some kind of paradise or utopia. A system that craves power wants only that. They want power for the sake of power. And so you really can't trust that system. More on that note of how we've been all caught up in the debt and how we as human beings are seen as collateral for the system is in this clip I found in the National Archives. It's in a family planning clip program, which is really just a euphemism for eugenics. I wrote the article yesterday. Under eugenics, you are a human resource slave to the New World Order. They really call us human resources, talk about how they need to control the breeding and the production of human beings because we fit into the larger plan. Economy, where we have no economic freedom, where they can ship our jobs to China, you name it, and we're not to be in charge of even how many babies we have. Let's go to that clip now. Aaron Dykes here on January 1st, 2013. Now, Alex Jones talked on the show today about how the system views us as human resources, and this is happening more and more under the eugenics model. More and more here in the United States as we adopt Obamacare, as we move towards a planned economy where there's limited economic options and less freedom all the time. Now, I just wanted to point out they really do consider us human resources. I'm going to play you a clip from a 1974 family planning clip called Communicate, Speak, They Are Listening. Family planning is, of course, code for eugenics. It's the softer side of Sears, the softer side of eugenics. Let's go to that clip right now.
In Kenya, the Minister of Finance and Development offers valuable support.
Well, my views, which really are government views, is that family planning is an integral part of development planning. It is an essential part for the reason that you cannot hope to plan other forms of production if you cannot plan the production of the main resource, the human beings. We view it as an aspect of human freedom.
Incredibly, you see this finance and development minister claim that it's the state's role to decide how many people reproduce, who and when, because they are human resources, part of the overall planned economy system, which time and again leads to limited freedom and basically totally slavery. But on top of that, you see this incredible 1984 Orwellian backwards doublespeak where freedom is slavery. Somehow when the state tells you if you can breed or not, that's freedom from the natural restrictions on breeding that otherwise occur.
So that is not slave to just natural forces. And this is what I said in Swahili to these people, that we view family planning education as an extension of personal liberty.
And you can find that film in the National Archives. Signing off for InfoWars.com. And again, this world government system has explained to us, has lectured us, has told us how they're going to control the number of human beings, who's allowed to reproduce, and they've even bragged about how they're going to ration food supplies to keep the population in check. This goes back at least 100 years. Here's three key quotes. I've read them to you before on air, but I'll read them again because they're so important. In Eco-Science, that tyrannical manifesto written by John P. Holdren, the White House science czar, and by Paul Ehrlich, the population bomb guy, they wrote about the planetary regime they wanted to bring into being. The planetary regime might be given responsibility for determining the optimum population for the world and for each region and for arbitrating various countries' shares within their regional limits. Control of population size might remain the responsibility of each government, but the regime should have some power to enforce the agreed limits. And they're talking about controlling the resources, allocating the food supplies, and everything else, telling you how much carbon you're allowed to use as we're seeing in this current era. Henry Kissinger talked about the same thing, his famous quote, if you control the oil, you control the country. If you control food, you control the population. He said that in the early 1970s and then went on to formalize that policy under National Security Memorandum number 200 issued in 1974. That's the food as a weapon doctrine. He wrote in part in that document, mandatory programs may be needed and we should be considering these possibilities now. It also said, would food be considered considered an instrument of national power? Is the U.S. prepared to accept food rationing to help people who can't or won't control their population growth? And again, he identified 13 key countries for immediate depopulation and bragged about how they're going to control the population and the populace in general through those rationed food supplies. But it goes back even further to Lord Bertrand Russell, who wrote that seminal book, The Impact of Science on Society, in 1954. He said to deal with the problem of increasing population and decreasing food supplies, it will be necessary to find ways of preventing an increase in world population. If this is not done through wars, pestilence, and famine, it will demand a powerful international authority. This authority should deal out the world's food to the various nations in proportion to their population. If any nation subsequently increased its population, it should not on that account receive any food. Therefore, the motive for not increasing population would be very compelling. And he writes how a government that distributes and controls the food is absolute as long as it can count on the police and armed forces to enforce those policies. How damning and thorough is that? That's the martial law scenario they're moving towards. Complete control of the economy, of your food supplies, disarm. They want to control everything. It's not a loving socialist government. Of course, we know that's the case in China. There's a shocking story just a couple days ago where a woman in Oregon found what appeared to be a plea for help in a product. It came from China, from someone who is allegedly in a labor camp. Turns out it's a labor camp that specializes in interning these Falun Gong practitioners, tries to force them out of their religious beliefs, force them to denounce it. Otherwise, they are forcibly drugged. It happened in the Masanja labor camp, where the survivor was force-fed these psychiatric drugs. Pan Ki, really not certain about the pronunciation, but it's all here in the story, was forced to take these neuroleptic drugs after refusing to renounce. When I got to the hospital, a doctor, asked me, "Have you renounced your beliefs?" I said, "Practicing Falun Gong is good. I have no illness." He said, "If you have not, then you are a mental patient." Several people pushed me back onto a bedboard. One of them fed me a spoon with medicine in it. I remember it was a blue capsule, and he put black powder in the spoon. He held my nose and put the medicine in my mouth until I couldn't hold my breath any longer and thus was forcibly medicated. This person later became unresponsive due to all the torture, but went on to describe all the other Falun Gong people who had been tortured and tried to convince out of their beliefs. Such a tyrannical system there. We have to hold on to the Bill of Rights here in America so that we have a religious freedom, so that we have the right to bear arms, so that we have the right to speak out freely, so that someday we can roll back these invasions on our privacy, these unwarranted checks and checkpoints. It's just ridiculous, and it's very dangerous. We're going to go now to Jakari Jackson's special report showing how the new DSM manual will psychologically diagnose a very wide net of people, essentially anyone they can label as crazy or mentally imbalanced. They can then disarm as they begin to roll out the legislation for PTSD and other mental illnesses, again, as a form of disarmament and disenfranchisement within our form of government. Here it is.
I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News. The National Institute of Mental Health has stated that 1 in 4 adults will suffer from a diagnosable mental health disorder each year. Now keep this in mind. The DSM-5, an APA publication, has stated that nearly every human emotion is a mental disorder. Everything from excitement to sadness, which is to say, you're crazy too. Let's start with this scene. A SWAT team in an armored vehicle. Surely there must have been some wicked Al-Qaeda members inside that home cooking meth. No, it was a mother who refused to force vaccinate her child. The mother stated that the medications changed the child's behavior for the worse. A SWAT team was called after a shot was allegedly fired. No rounds were recovered and the criminal charges were eventually dropped, but the child was still taken into custody. For more insight on parent-child mental health, let's take a look at this LA Times article, where it links spanking your child to giving them a mental illness. And the U.S. should be able to catch such anomalies quickly, as states like Texas give mental health screenings to 3-year-olds. Beyond what we've already listed, some people think more things should be added to the category of mental illness, such as...
This is out of the American Psychiatric Association, APA. which is called the Bible for Mental Health Medicine. And this is precisely what the Soviets used to send dissidents to Siberian gulags. Oppositional defiant disorder. That equates to distrusting or rebelling against authority.
Also, those who are critical of climate change. You know, the climate change that was global cooling, then it was global warming, and now it's any type of weather shift. One young man believed in climate change so passionately that he actually gave himself a mental disorder as he refused to drink water in fear that the planet would dehydrate as a result. But you say, why would those in medicine purposely diagnose healthy people with mental disorders? Now, it could be general incompetence on the hands of the prescriber, or it could be that they're getting a kickback. As this article points out, upwards of 70% of psychiatrists are on drug companies' payrolls. Keep these things in mind as politicians clamor for, quote, mental health screens for owning private property such as firearms. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Finally in the news, as we look at how society is unraveling, how the whole economic cliff that we're facing is not a rhetorical inside Congress debate over what kind of phony cuts to make while they increase the deficit all the time, we look to Iceland, who, of course, were also sucked into the 2008 financial crisis. But unlike the other countries, tiny Iceland at the time rebuked the supposed debt that had been saddled upon them and said, no IMF, no world government, that is not our debt to pay, that was fraud from the banksters. And in an ongoing account, they investigated, then prosecuted the bankers who were responsible for that fraud. Now those banksters have been jailed. It's in Reuters that the executives at the collapsed Iceland bank were jailed for fraud. An even more telling headline in the Irish Independent, Iceland bankers jailed for reckless loans made before the crash, and goes on to describe all the details. But it's a lesson we should keep in mind here in the United States. We don't have to go into oblivion here. We could actually just hold the people accountable who are actually responsible for these problems. Since we're not going that way, though, I take you now to Alex Jones's breakdown of society, what he sees coming, and some of the important things we need to pay attention to.
We've got an incredibly important news alert tonight for all freedom lovers out there. Tyranny is just going absolutely crazy. Tomorrow, Dianne Feinstein has pledged to introduce her bill, the text of which is public, that says the ATF can just ban any guns, period, they want, and order them turned in. But if they decide at their own pleasure, they might let you keep them. You just got to come get fingerprinted and registered. And now in the crime syndicate-run state of Illinois, the NRA is reporting that the head of the state house, Illinois Senate President John Cullerton, a bill that bans all new manufactured firearms, not just semi-auto, but shotguns, revolvers, you name it, you have to turn them in. And notice, first Illinois, a few decades ago, made everybody register their guns and get a yearly card that then funds the giant anti-gun police state. They've banned guns entirely in Chicago, so it's the murder capital, of course. All the criminals move there to oppress and feed on the people. But now they're introducing legislation that openly strips it and essentially shuts down the shooting ranges so that you can't even have a gun culture to learn how to protect yourself. All I can say on that front is God help us. Moving on, right along here with the Second Amendment attack, Obama would call on military to disarm Americans during national emergency. We have the new executive orders and army manuals posted up at InfoWars.com that break all of that down. Now, shifting gears into other areas where we see freedom under attack. All over the country, these big tyrannical medical companies are ordering their nurses and people that work in the cafeteria, you name it, to take the deadly hepatitis shot, which is only there if you're an intravenous drug user or prostitute. That's the only people that really need to take it. They're ordering them all to take it outside of law, and now more and more going to people that come to the hospital and saying, it's the law, you've got to take the shot. Just today, one of my crew members, whose wife had a premature baby, who we pray does okay last week, they told her here in Austin and him, you can't have your baby unless you take the flu shot and hepatitis, and they're trying to inject the premature baby. I'm talking premature 3 months. I'm talking critical condition. And you're like, wait a minute, you don't give premature baby shots. Wait a minute, you don't give pregnant women shots. Ladies and gentlemen, they've always said that in the inserts. When they asked for the inserts, they said, we're not going to give them to you. So this country is plunging into tyranny. And in the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany, they used the medical system because of its, quote, authority as the first place to introduce eugenics. So we've got to stand against that. Nurses that are being fired now for not taking the shots need to sue. We need to get involved legally, because the globalists are trying to set the precedent to forcibly inoculate people, not just here, but all over the world. Now moving on to the big tyranny of the day. Sandwiched in between the medical tyranny and the gun tyranny, trying to take our guns, we have the fiscal cliff, and it's being reported for every dollar in spending cuts, because the globalists want to bankrupt us, there's $41 in tax increases. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. Senate passes deal means higher taxes on 77% of households, even though Obama, we're going to play a clip of that here in a moment, pledged to never raise taxes on people making below $250,000 a year. Under this, people making $50,000 a year are going to get tax increases, and that's even out of the socialist Bloomberg.
And I can make a firm pledge. Under my plan, no family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase. Not your income tax, not your payroll tax, not your capital gains taxes, not any of your taxes.
And it's the same thing with government-run health care. They've reported that most of the insurance companies are going to double rates in 2013, this year, because they wrote it. It makes you buy their product. Now they can charge whatever they want. Now they're in the news saying death panels are good. Now they've collectivized things. Let's kill somebody so that they don't draw on the system. This is incredibly dangerous, the road that we're going down. And that's just some of the news that we have posted right now at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The good news is, throughout history, tyrants get out of control, the people wake up and reverse their takeover. And now is the time for all of you out there that realize what's happening to stand up and let your voices be heard and point out what collectivism and gun grabbing does. It leads to absolute despotism. Well, that's it for my contribution to tonight's InfoWars Nightly News. We're going to go now to a very important interview that Aaron is about to conduct with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Twice the Texas legislature has shot down the main artery of the NAFTA superhighway that is to tax the North American Union. They want to take over all the major interstates and do this. That's official Department of Transportation documents. Twice we've defeated it. Rick Perry has now come back in with an order with the state saying hand over our existing roads to Centra of Spain to fund the construction of their superhighways, which will also be toll roads. So here is Dr. Jerome Corsi with Aaron Dykes. I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow Info Warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
We are back on the InfoWars Nightly News. I want to take you now to our quote of the day, words to think about as we see this total descent into tyranny. How have they learned to control the populations? Well, the formula comes in part from writer Aldous Huxley, the famed eugenicist who wrote Brave New World. A really efficient totalitarian state would be one in which all powerful executive of political bosses and their army of managers control a population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude. Yes, he talked about how people would come to love their servitude. Now, in just a moment, we're going to our guest, Jerome Corsi of World Net Daily. But first, I want to bring you up to speed on what's been an ongoing saga. Back in Alex Jones's 2007 film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, and it explains how the toll roads are part of the larger takeover control grid agenda that fits completely in with Agenda 21 and everything else they have prepared to try to physically and psychologically dominate the people, but specifically on the toll roads. Here's what's been happening, and we'll explain in a moment why it's still a story today.
One of the things that is very shocking to most Americans is the fact that the United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment, which came out in 1995, clearly shows that in order to protect planet Earth, we have to go back to a feudal system. They actually said that in the document.
To craft a modern feudal society, the globalists are implementing a standardized North American Union ID card to track, trace, and control their serfs as they travel throughout the three regions of the NAU. Building on the massive displacement of humanity caused by globalization, the New World Order is rapidly constructing the physical infrastructure of the North American Union, the NAFTA Superhighway Control Grid.
I'm Arthur Peterson, Colonel retired the Army. I see things today that are happening that would make my friend who died in World War II turned over in their grave. To think that people would even consider confiscating land of farmers and ranchers and taking their homes away from them to turn it over to a foreign company in Spain, which was controlled by Don Carlos, I understand, a notorious socialist, and they get the tolls on Texas land for 50 years.
The proposed Trans-Texas Corridor would be a patchwork of superhighways and railroads stretching 4,000 miles from the border of Mexico, cutting through Texas to Oklahoma. A lease has been signed that would make Texas Highway 121 a toll road. A private Spanish company won the bid to build and collect the tolls for the next 50 years. These deals with private companies are being negotiated largely in secret. And many state lawmakers are worried taxpayers are being sold down the road.
Critics say it's a threat to our national security. It's part of a plan for a North American integration being carried out by government and corporate elites without congressional or voter approval.
We took to the air over Central Texas to get a bird's eye view of the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is under construction and will form the heart of the Trans-NAFTA Superhighway System. History repeats itself. 2,000 years ago, all roads led to Rome. Rome constructed and maintained more than 10,000 miles of roads throughout its empire. The roads were used to project Roman military power, to control commerce, and to bind the nations and peoples they ruled. Rome also demanded tribute. Roman subjects from Albion to Judea were forced to pay a tax to use the roads. The Romans would then use the tax to dominate their subjects. Today's superhighways are a powerful tool in the globalist arsenal. They are instrumental in tearing down national borders and merging nation-states into larger confederations. Foreign governments and corporations are predatorily seizing infrastructure across North America, but nowhere has their attack been greater than in Texas. Texas is the front line. Over 8,000 miles of existing roads and land are being handed over to government-backed foreign companies. Foreign companies buy the legislators, who then turn over complete control to the same foreigners who finance their campaigns. Government power is then illegally transferred to unelected quasi-governmental regional boards that circumvent local governments and the will of the people. More than 80 federal and state highways have been designated as international arteries. The I-35 NAFTA corridor starts deep inside Mexico and travels through the middle of the United States and ends in central Canada. Container ships from Asia dump their cargo on the Pacific side of Mexico. It then travels duty-free by rail to the new Kansas City inland port, now considered sovereign soil of Mexico, in the heart of the United States. Under international agreements, predominantly foreign companies are placing tolls on already existing paid-for roads. Federal, state, and corporate documents show that they will then use the revenue raised to build up the transportation infrastructure of Mexico, not the United States or Canada, so foreign-made products can pour in even faster from Mexico. Revenues raised will also be used to fund the fledgling North American Union and its growing bureaucracy. Bottom line, they're using our own money to enslave us.
And here with more on that is Jerome Corsi. of course, one of the head writers over at WorldNet Daily. He's also written a number of books, including Obama, Where's the Birth Certificate, The Late Great USA, all of which you can find at Amazon, as well as his other books. He's a Harvard PhD holder and has many other credits to his name. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Aaron, it's always a pleasure. I'm glad to be back.
Now, there's obviously a lot going on in the news, but the one surprise element nobody's really been focusing on at all lately is highlighted quite clearly in your latest article. It's back, Texas in superhighway deal with Spain. Now, I've been working for Alex for over 6.5 years. This was the big issue when I first started back in 2006. It had been ongoing since 2005. It became a huge issue of public outcry when people began to understand the scope of what was going on and how these highways were facilitating the breaking down of borders, the building up of a North American union, and really debasing our employment here in America. Because the speed it gave to Chinese goods shipped by Mexican drivers and so many other related issues, people spoke out. We thought we killed it. Perry backed off finally. But it just isn't the end of the story. Can you just bring us up to date, sir?
Well, I continue to watch this one, Aaron. I wrote this article just really over the holidays when it became clear to me that Texas was back at it again. That Governor Perry was in the process. Sorry about that. Governor Perry was in the process of issuing more contracts to build these super highways. You know, the bottom line here, first let me make this point. The New World Order crowd is never going to give up on their dream. The New World Order crowd is going to be in this thing always wanting to come back and do it one more time when people aren't listening or watching. So the story is that very quietly, Governor Rick Perry and the Texas Department of Transportation have been signing these public-private partnership agreements in Texas to build new toll roads with Cintra, which is a Spanish-owned construction and highway financing company. And below the radar, some $20 billion of these contracts have been put in place in Texas with the Texas our transportation getting back into the business again of selling off Texas highways and making them toll roads with this foreign entity, Cintra, putting up the primary financing and then collecting the tolls for 50 years after the road is built.
And of course, one of the major criticisms and controversies over this is they're not only building new toll roads, they're taking existing highways, major highways, really some of the only major roads here in Central Texas, as well as throughout the state, and they're giving them over to these private companies, and we're giving extra tax money through subsidies to the projects as well.
Well, you're going to find two things happening. One is that high velocity or high density highways that are used, you know, this highway 130 around San Antonio, Beltway and other roads around Dallas and Fort Worth. These are primary targets. So TxDOT's going to say, well, we're going to have to raise gasoline taxes or some other way to finance the development and improvement of these high utilization arteries in our system. So instead of that, we'll go to a foreign entity like Cintra. We'll provide them subsidies, maybe $1 billion, and Cintra will put up $5 billion of their capital, and we'll let Cintra develop this road. Look at what a great deal this is for everybody in Texas, they'll say, Texas Department of Transportation. What ends up is that you as a, you know, Texas driver, first of all, public subsidy is going to go to Cintra. Secondly, you're going to pay tolls to drive that highway for 50 years. And third, the money is going to go out of the country to Spain. And fourth, in this kind of piecemeal, you know, bite by bite, TxDOT thinks it can eat the whole sandwich. You know, maybe it gets to the point where people just put up with toll roads and they can go back to the 4,000-mile route of privately built and operated toll roads that Governor Perry wanted to build in 2005 through 2009 when the public finally stopped him. My second point is, I expect the Trans-Texas Corridor to revive. I don't think they've ever stopped the idea. They want to build a new highway parallel to Interstate 35 from Laredo, Texas, all the way up to the border with Oklahoma, that they're gonna come back at that again when they think people aren't listening or they've forgotten about the controversy. It'll return, and they'll look at how many jobs we're going to create for Texas. Look at all the money we're saving Texans in taxes. And what you don't understand is that your core infrastructure is being sold to a foreign nation for operation and collecting tolls. And the plan you're being involved in isn't just to make the high density traffic around Dallas go faster. It's to build this whole new network of roads that will go eventually into a redesigned system of international transportation that avoids and neglects borders.
Well, that's right. And so new listeners or people who've forgotten may not realize that there's a whole North American corridor system plan. There's four of them for short terms, one in each time zone, and it's totally about debasing our economy, as I've already pointed out. But you're right, they're sneaking them in by stealth. You've got little pieces like 290 east of Austin going toll road, Highway 59 near Houston. They're sneaking it in bit by bit, and just this January, they announced they're no longer taking cash at any of these toll roads. They're no longer going to hire toll booth operators. You're either going to have the Easy Pass, which electronically tags and monitors you and sends the payment at the base price for the tolls, or if you refuse to get them, they're going to scan your license plate, send you the bill in the mail, and you're going to pay the toll at a higher rate.
Yeah, I mean, I think the plan ultimately is to convert the roads to toll roads. You won't even have toll booths. Toll booths slow it down. You can do this all by cameras and electronics. You'll come through, and either you're going to get your little sticker from TxDOT registered, and you'll get charged the toll, or they'll take your license plate and they'll send you a bill in the mail at a higher rate. Eventually, you won't even know or realize, except for reading the signs on the roads, that you're being charged to drive these highways. Nowhere is it going to say the money's going to go to Spain or that Spain's operating the highway. Nowhere is it going to give you the vision, which is that, you know, we can bring in these grand cargo ships to ports in Mexico, cheaply unload the containers, and then bring them up into the heart of the United States through these super highways, all toll road, all constructed to be, you know, for semi-trucks to be able to do this multimodal transportation where the container is brought to some kind of a warehouse and then ultimately distributed to the point of manufacturing and the point of retail distribution. I mean, it's an elaborate plan that's been in the works for 40 or 50 years. In the sense that they have to figure out how to get past the American public, and they're going to try to do this piecemeal, you know, below-the-radar approach, thinking they can fool Texans into thinking, oh, it's not really the Trans-Texas Corridor. This is just dealing with a high-density section that we need to fix north of Dallas. That's going to be how it's presented.
Well, I want to point this out too, Dr. Corsi, tied in. I've been studying Obama's Partnership for Sustainable Communities. We've been to a bunch of the Smart Growth and Sustainable Communities meetings here in Central Texas, and the Department of Traffic federally, but also here in Texas, is part of building up these mega city regions that they see as the future direction of America, with dense, concentrated growth, all developed at these major urban centers. Here in Texas, it's known as the Texas Triangle between Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, with Austin caught in the middle, and it directly aligns with these major Texas toll road corridor passages.
Well, in fact, if you take a look at the original Texas Trans-Texas Corridor design, there were these big, you know, walls along the highway. You didn't even recognize where you were. You couldn't even barely see the scenery. And take a look at the election results. The cities tend to have Democratic voters. So if you want to make sure the voters move more to the left, pack them into cities. Don't let them stay in small towns where they can actually own property or maybe raise their own food. It's going to be a lot easier to take their guns away from them if they're all concentrated in a city. The whole concentration of the population. I mean, I'm trying to point out, it's not just about a transportation issue, because when you look behind it, and of course they'll say, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. You know, this is something that's not really going to happen. There is no North American Union plan. But yet when you read the technical reports, you know, you have to read the reports on modal transportation and how they look at it impacting a national system and, you know, global labor and how they intend to manufacture and move products. Then you begin to see the plans where, in fact, there is a desire to reconfigure the transportation system at the disadvantage of small towns, with the assumption you're going to move people into these cities, mega cities, and people aren't going to care about being Texans anymore. They're going to be North Americans. And that's going to be the perspective of the transportation system. I mean, otherwise, why do you have Spain in this deal? You know, that's the whole idea of these public-private partnerships. Sell the infrastructure that's owned today by the citizens of Texas, so the rights to that infrastructure go to Spain and are operated by Spain. And, oh, by the way, it's going to be good for you because you can travel faster on these highways and you won't have to pay taxes to get them built.
Well, as we know, these plans are crafted by Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderberg types. They make most of the profits. They have the insider deals. But switching topics, of course, everyone's still talking about the terrible Sandy Hook tragedy. And you wrote on that as well, a point that we've been making here at InfoWars, that 90%+ of all these mass shootings, the shooter ends up, he's on SSRIs, some kind of pharmaceutical psychiatric care. And it's just devastating. Nobody really ever raises an outcry about the drugging of these young people and why that contributes to them going crazy. Of course, violent video games also plays a role. But give us your take, sir.
Well, again, this was something I followed two really good psychiatrists, a guy named David Healy, who is a British psychiatrist. He's running a group called RXISK. It's risk.org, RX like a prescription and the letters ISK.org. And the psychiatrist and a guy named Peter Bregan, who is a Harvard-trained psychiatrist, formerly with the National Institute of Mental Health, now working in private practice. Each of these guys have written a ton of books. And what they've identified is that the kids who tend to be these shooters are they're described, psychiatrists get a hold of them through the parents. They say they've got some kind of a behavioral problem, and they start prescribing drugs. And these drugs have almost like a 90% or 95% correlation with the violence we're seeing in these school shootings. Over 90% of the school shootings are linked to the kids involved having taken some form of psychiatrically prescribed medication that has a psychotropic effect. In other words, it not only modifies their behavior, it modifies their thinking. And for these adolescents taking these very potent prescribed medications by psychiatrists, it affects their behavior in a violent direction or suicidal direction or a combination, suicidal and violent.
Well, I think instead of calling to ban guns and to create registrations and fingerprinting and restrictions like Feinstein and the other gun grabbers want, we ought to call for an end of the ties between pharmaceuticals and big government. And that is one of the most corrupt areas you'll ever find. Of course, the links tie over into all kinds of other conspiratorial things, but they have really bought out the FDA and the other regulatory agencies and run roughshod over the country and put in all kinds of dangerous drugs that people are taking without the proper monitoring.
Well, and see, again, this is a part of the same process they use of getting society controlled. In other words, you go back a few generations, and if a kid had a problem in a school, there'd be counseling, the parents would get involved. Today, they say kids got, some fancy name, ADD, or whatever they want to prescribe. That's going to be the disease. And they say, well, get them Ritalin or Prozac or, some other form of drugs. Because it's easy and it's controlled, it's government, sanctioned, there's money being made by the government, there's money being made by the pharmaceutical companies. The kid doesn't get cured. The kid just gets drugged out and his mind or her mind gets corrupted. They begin to get violent, suicidal. I mean, this again is, you want to read Brave New World and see the psychotropic drugs as being used as a social control mechanism by a government that's concerned of controlling the population, not curing the population. Mostly these are not sick kids. They might be lonely. They might have some emotional problems. You know, if we allowed God in these schools, we might even have some counseling of a religious nature or a morality nature of these kids. Find out what's the family like. But no, government comes in, prescribes the kid's got an ailment, gives him drugs, and then when the kid becomes violent, says take away the guns. It's not a solution. The only solution would be arming the schools. You know, go into any federal building, the politicians who are passing these laws don't rely on no gun zones for their safety. You go into any federal building in the United States, you're going to go through a metal detector. There's going to be armed guards everywhere with federal badges. You're going to be on cameras. They understand security when it comes to protecting the federal employees. They just, you know, these kids are put out here as victims on an agenda to get the guns from the hands of the population.
I agree, sir. Economically speaking, we've seen both parties supposedly holding their nose to forge this big fiscal cliff deal. Basically, it's like the coyote and runner, roadrunner cartoons. As soon as we look down, we're going to realize we're not in any kind of sustainable system anyway. But what is your take on this economic patchwork deal here?
Well, it was a disgrace. I mean, first of all, the whole program was supposed to have done something to reduce the deficit. Now we've got the Congressional Budget Office saying this thing is going to increase, what, $7 trillion, $4 trillion over the next decade? They put more spending in the bill. Congress can only spend. No congressman or congresswoman is going to vote to tell their constituents, we took money away from you. The system is broke, and you've got a president who is going to manipulate the system to create the most monstrosity of government you've ever seen. Obama has a big government mentality. I just wrote another ebook. It came out over the weekend on the Obama's plan to basically, I'm sorry about the phone ringing. I should have turned
it off. That's all right, Dr. Corsi.
We should have had a plan to, you know, Obama's whole plan here is basically to bankrupt the United States. Is the Cloward-Piven theory. And if you look at the Cloward-Piven theory, you're going to find what Obama is saying, and has been saying from the beginning, is you get these debts to a limit where we can't pay for them, no matter how much we raise taxes. The United States is bankrupt, and then they think they can take the United States and make it into a socialist system, a real socialist system.
Well, on that point, I just want to bring up, of course, back in the FDR days, he held four terms as president, leading to the constitutional amendment to restrict presidents to only two terms. I think it's quite dangerous when presidents of either party are reelected to that unaccountable final term, whether it's two or more. Obviously, I don't think we should go beyond two. But your own work, you played such a role in the John Kerry, George Bush election with your Swift Boat Veterans book, and they seized upon it, the Bush administration did, as a major campaign platform. Why do you think we didn't see Mitt Romney seize upon the birth certificate issue or any number of very damning issues that could have hurt Obama? Instead, he essentially let him skate to reelection. At least that's been my view.
Well, I'm writing a book about what went wrong in the election for the GOP. I think this election that we just went through with Romney reminds me of the 1948 election where Dewey lost to Truman. They thought Dewey was going to win. Dewey did not engage Truman in any debates. He didn't press any issues. He didn't defend the GOP record. He did a Me Too campaign. He was a nice guy, very flying high. Truman fought a populist campaign. He got a whistle stop campaign with the railroads. He beat Dewey every time he had a chance, called him a rich guy. Same dynamics. And Truman had the FDR coalition together. You know, the labor unions, the minorities, the immigrants. He was playing to people who wanted and expected their government checks. But do you think the woman who was talking about the Obama phone cared where Obama was born or whether he was a natural born citizen? I mean, Obama could have killed somebody in the front lawn of the White House. And many of his constituents, first of all, wouldn't have cared or would have said the person he killed deserved it. I mean, what they want to know is who's going to get them their checks. Who's going to keep the government dole flowing. And that's the entire interest group politics that we've now got. It's another dynamic. Obama, as advisors, changed the game back to the 1948 and really Depression era formula that FDR figured, get the people to be dependent on government, they'll vote for you. No matter what, who you are, what you've done, whether it's constitutional or not, FDR proved that as long as the interest politics gets the people their checks and they can stay dependent on government.
It's shameful too, because that kind of great society spending is not only unsustainable at the federal government level, but it's such a trap at the individual level. People take that money, but they never have any real hope for creating their own lives down the road. You never get out of that. It just creates these urban wastelands that they're trying to draw us all into, regardless of race or identity politics or any of those issues.
It's a dependency formula.
Certainly.
As soon as you start taking money for the government and depending on it, you've given up freedom. And our founding fathers knew this. Our founding fathers created a system of free enterprise where you could benefit, where you could have your individual growth. They predicated on belief in God. They had freedom as their core values. This is not Obama or FDR. They want the Obamaphone people voting for them and not thinking hard about the issues. You know, Obama campaigned on that he was not going to raise taxes on the middle class right out of the gate before he's inaugurated the second time. This fiscal cliff agreement, you know, 77% of taxpayers get a less in their take-home pay because they did not extend the FICA payroll tax 2% that was forgiven in the surplus legislation. That's now reinstated. And most taxpayers, 77%, are mostly middle class, are going to get a tax increase. So Obama's lying right from the gate. But it's all class warfare. Read my two ebooks, Saul Alinsky, The Evil Genius Behind Obama, and this new one, Obama's Plan to Bankrupt America, The Cloward-Piven Theory. You've got to understand that these dynamics are what's driving Obama. And it's a move towards socialism. It's a move towards government dependency. And it's not going to stop. And the GOP is now just a Me Too party. It's going to have to completely reformulate itself. And I don't know whether it's going to be capable of, you know, winning another election in 2014 or 16. GOP's got a lot of rebuilding and rethinking to do, and it is right now in disarray.
We appreciate you joining us, Dr. Corsi. Tell us where we can find your work, both at WorldNet Daily and any other sites you'd like to give out.
WND.com. I'm a senior staff reporter. Take a look at 1776nation.com, 1776nation.com. I do a lot of my Tea Party writing there. And my books, of course, can be found on Amazon.com.
We appreciate you, sir. Take care.
Thank you very much.
And that is all for tonight's InfoWars Nightly News, but I want to resound what Dr. Corsi was talking about. I submit that independence, not dependence, is the way to go. Our forefathers did have a dream. They were never perfect. Institutions like slavery have always been deplorable. We don't want to further them by giving in to dependence on government, because that's exactly what it leads to. Dependence is just another name for slavery. Keep watching. Stay tuned. Help us out financially at PrisonPlanet.tv. You can become a member, download your information library, spread it to everyone around. You can also get the InfoWars magazine, a glossy, wonderful photocopy issue. Here's our latest one, 2013, the year America dies? And there is, of course, planetinfowars.com. Good night.